الحمد لله رب العالمين، نستعينه نستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Praise be to Allah, guardian evolver, cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds. We seek aid from Him. We turn to Him with complete faith and devotion, begging forgiveness for our faults, our sins. We put our complete trust in Him. And I bear witness that nothing deserves worship except Him alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, the universal message for all people, is His servant and His messenger. The Most High says in the Quran, through the prophet Moses, that He sent to the children of Israel. He says to them, Tubu ila bari'ikum. Tubu ila bari'ikum. Repent you to your Lord who formed you, who gave you form, who formed you of the earth. In the Quran chapter called the Qaw al-Baqarah, the sins of these people who rejected the Prophet Moses is singled out. Perhaps the worst sin that any people ever committed or can commit. And that sin is the changing of God's word. So that it will serve unrighteous aims of an unrighteous people. Allah Most High says in the Quran, can you men of faith entertain the hope that they will believe in you, seeing that a party of them heard the word of Allah and perverted it knowingly after they had understood it. وَيُحَرِّفُونَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا عَقَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And they changed it, perverted it. Perverted means to change even the nature of it. The nature of the message was to produce good, to advance good, and to help man, humanity, men, women, families, reach higher degrees of human excellence, community excellence. When that nature is changed, then you get just the other results. You get the other results. Not the improvement of the people, but the degeneration, the ruination of the people. That's why the term here, perverted, is used. They perverted the word after they understood it. Behold, when they meet the men of faith, they say, we are believers. So now another thing is brought out. These people are hypocrites. They are not bold wrongdoers. They're afraid to come out and show the wrong that they are doing. They must do their wrong undercover. Behold, when they meet the men of faith, they say, "We are believers." But when they meet each other in privacy, they say, "Shall you tell them what God has revealed to you, that they may engage you in argument about it before your Lord? Do you not understand their aim?" Now listen to the conversation. These perverted, hypocritical bunches, groups, they are speaking the same way that God-fearing people speak. I think it passed by us when we read it. Let's listen again. "Behold, when they meet the men of faith, they say, 'We are believers.' But when they meet each other in privacy, they say, 'Shall you tell them what Allah has revealed to you, that they may engage you in argument about it before your Lord? Do you not understand their aim?'" Now, they mention the name Allah as being their Lord. And they're treating Prophet Muhammad and his followers as though they are not real believers. So that should tell you very clearly that these are people who are just as faithful in worshiping the devil as we are in worshiping God. Their Lord is the devil. But they refer to him by the same name, God. They call their Lord God. But their Lord is indeed the devil. I'm not talking about some spooky thing, some spooky concept. I'm not talking about a witch cult society. I'm talking about people who claim to be educated, claim to be knowledgeable, claim to know the sciences. But God in their mind is not the God that is in our mind. And they use the same language. They say God. And they speak reverently of scripture. But they are the worshippers of the devil. Is this new to you? If you have been in the church, this shouldn't be new to you. The Bible says of Jesus that he said, "If you were of Abraham, you would love me." He said, "You are of your father, the devil. And the works of your father you will do." This is the Bible. Where Jesus the prophet was speaking to some people that professed to believe in the book, in scripture. And they were using the name God exactly as he was using it. And they were identifying as the children, as the people of faith and the people of God, children of God, just as the other people were. But Jesus singled them out and said, "If you were of Abraham, you would love me. You are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do." So this language that is in the Quran is very much like that language in the Bible. Here are people who are using the name God and are speaking reverently of scripture. But the Quran tells you that they are not. They are the worst enemies of God. So think not because people say God, they are good people. Think not because they say, "Yes, this is my scripture," they are good people. Some of the worst people, in fact, the worst people on this earth are under the guise of religion. The worst on this earth are under the guise of religion. And religion to them is a whole nother picture. Let's read it again. Can you men of faith expect, entertain the hope? It means expect. Can you men of faith expect that they will believe in you, seeing that a party of them heard the word of Allah and perverted it knowingly after they understood it? Now here they were blessed with something that the average person is not even blessed with. The average person is not even blessed to understand the word of God. They just hear it, and they so touched by its sincerity, so touched by its purity, that they believe in it. Not that they understand it, but they are touched by the sincerity and the purity of God's word, and they believe in it. Someone say, you believe in those superstitious things? Do you believe that God can really raise you up after death? And the sincere one say, yes. Say, it makes no sense to me. That's what the disbeliever will say.
Right.
It makes no sense to me. But the believer says, yes, I still believe in it. Say, how can you prove that? He doesn't know. Poor, unschooled, uneducated person in the word of God. He's just faithful. He can't explain to you how that can be. But the word is pure. The word is good. And it has touched the good heart. And the good heart says yes to God without understanding. Now here, this party of devils, they are blessed with understanding that the average person never gets. The average person never gets. Live their life in faith and die, never knowing the mysteries of religion, never having understood the mystical sciences. But the devil knew. The Quran says they perverted it knowingly. And then it's emphasized. After having understood it. Not only did they know what they were doing, they understood the value of the word of God. And that's why they perverted it. Because they understood it. And their hearts were not in accord with it. So they had to change it. There's nothing feared on this earth more than the pure word of God. Because the pure word of God can stand up against anything on this earth.
That's right.
It's time tested.
Right.
It's proven. This Frenchman who wrote a book here lately, a popular book, in the fine libraries, he wrote a book listing the 100 most influential men in history.
That's right.
And he put Prophet Muhammad on the top of the list. On the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
He put our prophet, the prophet of the common people. He put him on top of the list. Another Western writer writes of Prophet Muhammad, and he says that there have been great conquerors, great reformers, and he named the great one, Alexander, all these great conquerors and reformers. And he said, but none of them have been as amazing in his achievements as Muhammad. Because the people he came to, the low ebb that they were on in terms of their mental development, moral development, and social development, they were totally destroyed. They had no social life. Their social life was hooliganism. The whole country was nothing but a teenage gang society. Yes, this is what history tells us. The whole country was nothing but a country of hoodlum gangs. Gangs, you know, little teenage war gangs. But men were doing it, just like you are in the city now, you know. Men are over the gangs, and the youngsters are out there visible.
Right, that's right.
But some old hard man, old ugly, rough, hard man, he's running the gangs. He's a teenager, but he doesn't, he's a teenager mentally, you see. But he knows chronologically he's the man. And he's ashamed to let people see him
with his works.
Right.
So he just sent the youngsters out so the youngsters will be seen.
Right.
And he hides.
Right.
And he's paid by some corrupt people in the police department, CIA, etc.
Right.
He's that monkey doo-doo fella. He works for them. To keep the productive forces of the minorities tied up in destructive things. Because they have no use for them. Too many. Can't find employment for them. No use for them. So we have to tie them up in destructive things. So we know where they are. We know where they are. They're on reefers. They're on heroin. They're on this. They're on wine. They are homosexuals. So you can point out everybody. So you know where everybody is. You got all of them occupied. All of them are doing something.
Right.
Ain't nobody idle. Behold, when they meet the men of faith, they say, "We believe." The most wicked of the people, when they're among people who genuinely have faith, they claim to have faith too. Allah Most High says that they say when they're with the people of faith, they say, "We believe too. We believe." But when they meet each other in privacy, they say, "Shall you tell them what Allah has revealed to you, that they may engage you in argument about it before your Lord? Do you not understand their aim?" They fear the aim of the righteous servant. This is referring to the aim of the Muslim. The aim in the mission of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. They fear the aim. Their aim is to keep the people ignorant and to deprive them of power. Because if the little people get power, they will be a challenge to the big people. Their numbers are already a power in itself.
That's right.
The little people are the majority.
Right.
So once they get knowledge, then the minority that suppress them, oppress them, are finished.
That's right.
The aim of the prophet of God is to bring the knowledge to the little people. So the little people will be on equal par with the minorities. So what could frighten them more than that? What could frighten them more than that? Their only advantage, their only safety, is in keeping the little people dumb. Keeping the little people out of the knowledge that give them structure, form, consistency, objectives, direction. Yes. So their only security is in keeping you from that. Can't you see now and understand the verse a little better? The same knowledge that God gave the good man, and the good man took it and gave it freely to the world. As the scripture says of Jesus, "Why you arrest me in the night when all I've done has been in the day? I haven't been lying to anybody or doing any double dealing. I've been honest. I've done my work in the light of the people. Now why you arrest me in the night? You're doing your dirt in the night. You're doing your dirt out of the view of the people, out of the vision of the sights of the people. You see? They fear the aim because they don't want truth, justice, fair dealing, equality, equal opportunity for all. They don't want that. If you look in the language of democracy, you see democracy changing its language, but seems to be moving up to a more complete idea of what freedom really is. And we are very, very significant in the historical movement of freedom. Many of you don't know it, but when they enslaved us, they did it in the name of a principle of freedom. They enslaved us in the name of a principle of freedom, that these people enslavement will advance the cause of freedom. I got proof of it. So they actually enslaved us in the name of freedom. Then freedom began a new kind of unfolding, or a new kind of revelation, from chattel slavery again. Because after all, man had almost abolished the institutions of slavery in the whole world when they enslaved us. Isn't that a fact?
That's right.
Slavery was a thing of the past when they enslaved us. But when they enslaved us, they took the history back to chattel slavery. Excuse me, but you all should go out and do that. You shouldn't distract people. You shouldn't take people's attention off. If you're looking at stuff, go out. Go out and then check it and come back in and sit quietly and give your attention here. Excuse me for interrupting. But in the masjid, nothing is to happen to distract the attention from the khutbah and from the speaker who's delivering the khutbah. In the days of Prophet Muhammad, people sit with their eyes looking one direction at the imam. You don't have horse blinders on. You can look at me and still see around there. I see all around me while looking at you. I'm talking to security people now who watch for some nut may jump up and do the huckabuck or something, you know. So they can see too. And they can look this way too and see. You don't have to be looking or scanting all over the people. Be more sophisticated. Praise be to Allah. And seek Him for guidance. And seek Him for protection. Dear beloved Muslims, coming back to our thought now. Slavery was introduced because of an economic necessity in the West. But every time there is a material necessity, the learned of the corrupt society take that, they have to keep history in order for themselves. They have a pattern that history must conform to, so they will be able to read it and understand it. And so their children after them, their children's children, will be able to read it and understand it. So history has one pattern in our eyes, but it has a hidden pattern in the eyes of the knowers. It has a hidden pattern. It must not only speak to the material progression, the material occurrences or events, it must also speak to the scheme that governs the life of the people. It must speak to their inward development as well as to the outward development we call the material world. So they compare the two, and they express both concerns with one language. With one language. So the enslavement of us, putting us in chains, was turning the clock backwards. And they did it because of the necessity in the West for that kind for slaves, for work, for cheap labor, but also to start all over again a formula for bringing man to greater and greater idea of freedom. So there was a freedom from physical slavery. After that, what came next? Other forms of freedom, right? Just study our history, and you can see the other part. The women weren't emancipated before.
That's right.
The women were emancipated. In fact, they're still trying to be emancipated.
Right.
But their emancipation began after our emancipation got started.
That's right.
I mean all women.
Right.
White, black, no matter what color they are.
Right.
The emancipation of women in the West began after our emancipation got started. So it seemed that we were a kind of a signal for the beginning of the emancipation of man. Man wasn't emancipated. He was free to walk around like an animal off a leash, but he wasn't emancipated. The idea of public education, didn't it come after our emancipation?
That's right.
So here is the liberal process now. The liberal process, the freeing of the minds of the masses.
Right.
It didn't come about until after our emancipation got started.
That's right.
So they turned the clock back to 0 hour. Freed a man from physical bondage. And then from there they move on up to increase or enlarge the sphere of freedom for man. So women, freedom have to be included. Moral freedom, freedom of the press, freedom to congregate for religious purposes. Weren't these moral freedoms? Yes. Freedom of expression. Emotional freedom. And also the freedom of the intellect. Mental and emotional freedom. If you don't allow people to speak, oh, they get choked up.
That's right.
I've got something to say and you tell me I can't speak.
That's right.
Expression is a need of the life.
Right.
You see? So all of these freedoms, the four great freedoms that were named under President Roosevelt, Delano Roosevelt, all of these freedoms. Now here in this late hour, we have the idea of equal opportunity. It had never been expressed like that before. Finally, they got to the real problem for those denied freedom. They expressed it very clearly. They said, look, these people want more than just to be free of the chain or off under the physical yoke. They want also moral freedom. They want religious freedom. They want freedom to express themselves. And the women, they need to be free too. They even want more than that. They want equal opportunity. Well, that's what it was all about to begin with. Equal opportunity. It could have started out like that. But it didn't. It had to keep the real thing hid until it got the society a little more tame. Society was a little bit too wild for them to say equal opportunity. All those wild dudes say, yeah, equal opportunity. And it would have been a mess. So they had to first tame the society a bit, you know. Cultural freedom. Religious freedom. All of these fine ideas, you see. Get the people tame. Get them beautiful. Like the scene of nativity. Ain't nothing in there menacing. A little sweet baby and little sweet animals. I didn't see a vicious animal in the nativity scene. Get them all nice and sweet, you see. Then tell them equal opportunity and maybe it won't be such a disturbance. So we have equal opportunity now. That's the thing. Equal opportunity. Women rights and equal opportunity. Understanding this, that there is the movement of freedom on earth. And that it is a systematic movement. It's a calculated movement. It ain't nothing given to our whims. Some of us think, you know, oh, times got hard and the people didn't stand for that. The people said, let us be free. And you think that what occurred after that, what resulted, was because of just some isolated incident. No, indeed. Everything that happened on this earth and gets a page in history is put into that scheme and must conform to that scheme. If it doesn't, they won't let it happen. Or if it happens, they'll keep it suppressed. They won't even let it go in history. It won't even go in history. Don't you know many things have happened on this earth that have been just as, I would say, newsworthy as many things that you know very well because they're in history so plainly. But they weren't put in history. They didn't include it in history because it didn't fit the pattern. It wasn't a part of the plan. This kind of knowledge will give you equal footing with other people. It will put you on the same solid ground that other high societies are on. They stand on high ground. They stand on solid high ground because they know what's above the head of the average person. But once we know it, we stand on the same ground with them. That's what they fear. They fear the common people coming into that solid knowledge that will enable them to stand firm, to rest the soul. How can we make progress and we are constantly upset? How can we progress and we are constantly confused? But once understanding comes to you, you have strength that you didn't have before.
That's right.
Because all your energies are not tied up into wondering.
That's right.
You stop wondering and you start putting more time on what you have to do to improve your own life. So they like to keep you tied up with mysteries, superstitions, incidents you can't explain, happenings that confound you. That's what keeps the masses down. But when they know what's happening, they can let the world cut up like little children or like wild people, and they can keep on about their business just like the Rothschild family does.
That's right.
Yes. But when they don't know, every little disturbance take their attention off of the immediate concerns that they should be attending. Look how different emotional climates have come in. Different violence, climates of violence have come in over the last 20 years or so. And just look how that those incidents have taken us off our business, just like the herd that's trying to graze. And someone fires shot, and the herd shoots out. Wow, just blindly going. And any time the herders don't want the herd to keep in that stampeding in that direction, they know what to do. Fire another shot. So if they want them to go left, they go over to the right and fire another shot, and the herd goes left. They want them to turn around, they get in the front of the herd and fire a shot. The herd turns around. So sound becomes the sergeant giving the cadence.
That's right.
Column right, oh! Column left, oh! Rear, oh! And the herd just doing it at the sound of the gun. A lot of us don't even know the mystery of their language. A gun and a bullet. They shoot you with a bullet. What is a bullet? What is the meaning there? They are talking of a higher science. And we see it only on this level. Oh, he got shot with a bullet. But the higher form of shooting that does more damage and can kill more with one shot is a different kind of bullet. Fire a small bull into him. Make him a small bull. Fire a small bull into him. A bullet. A small bull. So influence his life. Feed him emotionalism. Feed him attitudes. that will turn him in mentally into a small bull. Everybody's under Taurus. Defiant. Given to emotional rage. Isn't that the masses? Defiant and given to emotional rage. This is just one example of how they speak over your heads. How are we going to deal with this, buddy man? You seem that you are saying the establishment, the power brokers, are the enemies. How can we little people deal with that? Same way Prophet Muhammad dealt with it. Same way the New Testament say deal with it. Know ye the truth. And the truth will make you free. It didn't say, get you an army too. And the army will deliver you. It said, know ye the truth. And the truth will make you free. And again, that scripture says, and that old beast was taken. And not by hands. That's the Bible. That a beast shall be taken and not by hands. Not by force like this. With the force of truth. They had great empires in the times of Prophet Muhammad. Perhaps more vicious than these we have now. But Prophet Muhammad succeeded. He started out with nothing but just himself, his wife, nephew, cousin, uncle, and most importantly, two good companions. Abu Bakr, Omar, and then others too joined, right? And it turned out to be just a few companions that were non-relatives, and among them were few relatives. Few companions. And at one point in the history, seems as though he was almost alone. His companion Abu Bakr was worried. Savage army were pursuing them. And Prophet Muhammad rested his fear. Told him, we're not alone. Allah is with us. Only two of them. Abu Bakr and Prophet Muhammad fleeing the savage army. And there they were in the cave of a mountain, feeling alone, life threatened. And Prophet Muhammad said to his companion Abu Bakr so that he would be relieved, we are not alone. Allahu ma'ana. Allah is with us. And says, the report says that when the army got to that place, they looked around and kept going because spider had weaved the web about the opening of the cave. And when anyone sees a spider web, they think it's no one has used that place for a long time. You see. So they just kept going.
which tells us, which explains for us, how we are to understand Allah's presence and Allah's support. We can fight physical battles. We have this power to use. We can fight with our knowledge and fight with our hands and with our muscles. But Allah has all avenues open to him. Now, who would expect that a little spider web would turn the army around? But Allah just made a little, look this way, please. Allah just made a little spider web turn the army around. That's all, just a little spider web. You see?
Know they not that Allah knoweth what they conceal and what they reveal?
Little hooligans running around with knowledge that God entrusted to man for the benefit of all people. They running around with it, feeling secure that nobody has it but us.
But Allah gave it. You didn't have it before he gave it. Now what make you think he can't give it again? He gave it once. Now, what make you think he can't give it again? So they feel secure with their little esoteric packages. Secret wisdom. And they know anything, somebody else got it. They didn't know, they don't know how he got it. Say, how did he get it? We were watching that thing. We were watching him. None of our people came to him. How did he get that? Know they not that Allah knoweth what they conceal and what they reveal? So what you say, Allah knows that. What you hold secret and won't say because you fear somebody else may get it too and be equal to you, he knows that too. And anytime he wants, he will give them what you're hiding. And put your game to a halt. Allah Most High says, and there are among them illiterate, who know not the book, but see therein their own desires, and they do nothing but conjecture, make guesses, just guess at it. وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ And among them are illiterate, uneducated people. لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابِ They do not understand the book, the revelation. إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ Except by faith. أَمَانِيَّ Except by faith. They understand that you have to believe in God. You have to believe in a judgment. The ignorant people understand that. Those who follow Christianity, they understand that you have to believe that there's God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That you have to believe that Jesus Christ, born of Mary, is God's only begotten Son. And that if you don't accept him, you won't go to heaven. See? They know that.
The ignorant know that. And they will say, yes, that's my religion. I believe that, right? Oh, yes, they know that. What do they know beyond blind faith? Illa amaniya. They know only by blind faith, by just emotional attachment. That's all they know. Talking about the ignorant, the common people, the masses. Open your eyes, brothers and sisters, and see that we got people on this earth today that greet us like they are holy holies in the church, in the synagogue, in the mosque, in the Muslim house, masjid. And their only intention is to keep you ignorant. Keep you from coming into the knowledge that Allah gave for all of us. That's their only intention. They fear like hell us coming into the knowledge that they have. Let me repeat. They are Jews, they are Christians, and they are so-called Muslims. When they come among us, they don't want to do nothing but give us the impressionable stuff that will bring about an emotional attachment to faith. Just an emotional attachment to faith. They never want us to have the rational attachment. They never want us to see the real knowledge. Because they fear that if we see that, we won't have any use for them. That wasn't the way of Prophet Muhammad. What do they want? A camp of slaves? A society of little children that they can lord over as fathers and mothers? Is that what they want of us? Get the hell out of our society if that's what you want of us. You'll never get that. You'll never get that. Slave masters are finished for us. Now, if you want to come among us and respect us as equal human beings with you, entitled to the same goods that God gave for all people, you and others, if you see us as being entitled to that, okay, welcome among us. But if you're coming here thinking you're going to find a camp of little children that you're going to keep on a petty baby nursery school level of understanding in religion, attached to dhikr beads, counting dhikr beads, and making salad all day long instead of putting their intellect to work in the world, if you think you're going to hold us on that level, you are sadly mistaken. We will kill you before we let that happen. What does Allah say to us? Persecution is worse than slaughter. And when you deprive a person of the possibilities for their intellect, you are persecuting their intellect. You are persecuting the choicest part of that human being. For after all, where is my human description? My human description is in my intellect, not in my flesh. Persecution is worse than slaughter. To oppress the people's minds is worse than killing them outright. We're going to string some of you shakes upside down and chop you up in a billion pieces one of these days. I'm talking about those that come among us hypocritically, pretending to be good Muslims, and they have no intention but to charm us into following them blindly. And once we do that, they want to exploit us. They want to see how many vicar beads they can sell us, how many miswax they can sell us, how many bottles of oil, scented oil they can sell us, how many sandals they can sell us that they don't even wear, how many Arab garbs, desert garbs they can sell us that they don't even wear, how many turbans they can sell us that they don't even wear, how many Qurans they can sell us that they don't even read, how many books that they print they can sell us that they don't even read. They just print them for other people to read. No, we're going to print our own books. This is New Timbuktu. We're going to print our own books, establish our own institution of learning. We're going to have our independence in every respect. Now take that message back to them. So they won't waste their time. You be the judge. Who is the leader? Who is the sincere leader? The one that come and just tell you, brother, have you made your wudu? Make your wudu. And you smell him. You smell him. He's telling you to make your wudu, and you smell him. He can't smell you. At least you took a bath yesterday or last night. Now you smell him. He's all wrapped up in a whole lot of holy robes. And he's, brother, did you make your wudu? Are you going to pray? No, brother. You don't pray until you go make ablution. Go make ablution. Wash your brother. Let me see. Are you doing it right? More water, brother. More water. Use more water. Like we're some little babies. Now, if they were themselves very devoted to these things, I would still love them. I would say, well, this is a good man. Maybe his understanding is not where it should be, but he's a good man, you know? But I know them. I've been around them. I know them. Go to their countries. Go in their mosque. You won't find a mosque filled like this. This mosque is just about filled. Go in their countries and see where you'll find a mosque filled. Go among them and see how many you catch at the time of prayer, making ablution and doing everything. Especially those that come over here. They come over here looking for what the big Satan has to offer. You know, that's what Khomeini called it, the big Satan. Imam Khomeini. He says this America is the big Satan. Well, I want him to know that a lot of his brothers come over here to see what the big Satan has to offer. And before we know it, they are all caught up in what the big Satan has to offer. These are things we should know. We ain't gonna let people fool us anymore. When we couldn't see, we couldn't help ourselves. But now that we can see, no indeed, we're not gonna let anybody mess over us anymore. I'll kill you myself. Allah is my witness. I will kill you myself and take whatever the consequence is. Because my people are so chicken, I can't trust them to do it. They don't understand yet like I do. Ummiyun, Ummi. Prophet Muhammad himself is called Ummi. In the Quran, he is referred to as the Ummi prophet. Yes. And the people that are without knowledge are called the Ummiyun. What does that tell us? Prophet Muhammad came from the uneducated people. And God educated him. God missioned him and God educated him. And made him the most capable person on this earth in every respect. Allah bless the ignorant masses with a leader from among them. With the capability to do more than any other human being on earth could do. And succeed at it. Oh, yes. Can't you see now why they don't want Christians, masses, and others to know Prophet Muhammad? Because if they know Prophet Muhammad, they will feel a kinship. Because he is one of us. Prophet Muhammad is one of us. He wasn't a rabbi. He wasn't a learned person in the religion. He wasn't educated by them.
He wasn't from the ruling classes. The Quraysh was a notable family, but it was not an educated family. It was just one of the, it was the star among the hooligans. Just like over here, you got gangs that's the star among the other gangs. Well, in dark age Arabia, the Quraysh was the star among the other gangs. But they all were tribal gangs, that's all. Just tribal gangs. And Prophet Muhammad was lifted up by Allah in knowledge, sciences, so high, most of us can't even see. I mean, most of the top learned people in the religion, they can't see the height that Prophet Muhammad was lifted to. Can only imagine, only guess. He was offered everything to get him to give up his mission. They said, Muhammad, you're our son. You're the son of the Quraysh. Special son. Because Prophet Muhammad was loved by all of them before he began preaching the truth. He was loved by all of them. He was loved for his honesty. He was called El Amin, the trustworthy one. And the Bible mentions him. The Bible says, let the El Amin say Amin. Let El Amin conclude it. When we say Amin, that means it's all over. Let the last prophet say Amin. And Prophet Muhammad is the El Amin. And the Bible says, let the El Amin say Amin. Mean, let him that God has established as the last one conclude the matter. And he did. Because he was El Amin, trustworthy. So they all loved him and respected him. The only thing they were dissatisfied with was his moral determination, the high level of morals that he commanded. They feared it. Didn't give any room, leave no room for no crooks. Say, this fella here, he's going to put an end to crookery. Say, how in the world can we exist if he succeeds? So they secretly bribe him. After all, he's flush just like we are. So the leaders came out and they said, Muhammad. They flattered him by telling him how dear he was to them. And then they made their wicked proposal. Is it women that you want? We will give you the prettiest women of our tribes. And Muhammad, is it money that you want? We will load you down with money. You won't have to worry for anything. Is it fame you want? You will be the most famous. We'll make you the most famous of all the tribes. And Prophet Muhammad answered them without wasting much time. He said, if you could give me the moon in my left hand and the sun in my right hand, I still wouldn't stop preaching this message. And they know they couldn't do that. So the man makes an impossible bargain. Actually, what he was saying to them, if you little ignorant, dark age hoodlums had the knowledge that the ruling classes have on earth to give me, that still wouldn't be enough to stop me from keeping up my word. They didn't understand. They just thought he meant the moon in the sky, the physical moon and the sun. That's all they thought he meant. But no, he meant the knowledge that these things were nothing but symbols for. If you can give me the high knowledge that rule night and day, that these things are symbols for, still I won't stop preaching. Because that's not enough. For even those things must come to an end. Yes. Oh, yes. Allah tells us in the Quran that the sun and moon, the whole canopy above, shall be rolled up like a shade and discarded as something old, something obsolete. That means their knowledge. That means the world knowledge, the old world knowledge, shall be rolled up and discarded like a worn out scroll. So they couldn't find Prophet Muhammad. They had nothing to offer him. Allah had given him more than they imagined. Or more than they possibly could imagine. Oh, yes. But those who have moon knowledge and sun knowledge, they can recognize the man of God. And when they recognize him, they set about to defeat his purpose in the earth. And we have to realize that. The little people have to realize that. That your only hope is religion. Materialism, capitalism is an entrapment. You will never be equal to them. They will decide how much of that you will have for the rest of your natural life and your children, 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 children to come. Believe me. Socialism, forget about it. It's another regulated thing. Don't go to Russia. No, indeed. You're putting yourself in another entrapment. The same monster that operates capitalism operates communism. Just hides his hands, that's all. Got one hand operating in capitalism, the other hand is operating in communism. World scheme for controlling everything. And all you have to do to get out of it is to be right. That's all you have to do to get out of it. Just be 100% right. When you become 100% right, none of them can hold you. None of them can hold you. None of them can decide your life when you become 100% right. You know, some of you have been into those things. You've been into capitalist secrets. You've been into communist secrets. You know if you become 100% right, you can't stay with either one of them.
That's right.
Once you make up your mind, you're going to think morally. You're going to be a moral creature. Your business with them is finished.
That's right.
You can't be morally upright and serve the forces of this world. So be brave. Be followers of Prophet Muhammad. He succeeded. Do you think this is some new thing? This ain't no new thing. There was a capitalist in the day of Prophet Muhammad. There was a communist in the day of Prophet Muhammad. There was the atheist in the day of Prophet Muhammad. Even further back in the days of Jesus, the Bible will tell you that. That there were some people that exalted materialism. That's the same thing the communists do, and who principled their life on the principles of materialism. The same thing the communist has done, just made a fancy philosophy. Put it in modern terms, that's all. The atheists were back there. The Sadducees, they were the atheists that didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in anything supernatural. They said if it's not practical, if it doesn't reach through me through my five senses, it doesn't exist. Same thing existed back there. And Jesus overcome them. They existed in Prophet Muhammad's day. Prophet Muhammad overcame them. They exist in our day. And I'm overcoming them. Yes. With the help of Allah. I am overcoming them. They haven't kept me down. They can't keep me down. You think they don't plot against me?
Every plot that they worked against Prophet Muhammad, I see it being worked against me. Same old tricks. And I point them out as I see them. I saw the trick in Chicago that was used on Prophet Muhammad. People came in, they act like they were all excited about what I was teaching. And they stayed in until they got to be popular in the congregation. After they became popular in the congregation, they start acting like they were disappointed. Like I had failed their expectations. And they did it to kill the spirit in the congregation. So when I saw them doing it, I pointed them out. And I told them what the history says of Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him. I said, now these people came here for the same purpose. They came here to pretend like they are the champions of what I represent. To get you to look to them for strength. And now they are acting like I have disappointed them to kill what little strength you had when they came in. Their plan all the time was to come in and break our strength. I said, now they're going to go. They're going to leave. And they're hoping that you will leave too. But Allah was with me. The believers saw that. And they got stronger than they ever were. And Allah has been with me every turn of the road. Oh, yes. When the shadow falls, Allah makes the light come back. Brightens the way for me. Oh, yes. Yes. What did they fear most of Prophet Muhammad? They feared him becoming economically stable. So they say, let us boycott the Muslims. You think they don't do that to me? They are working every kind of strategy they possibly can work to keep Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad out of strength. Oh, yes. They tried to infiltrate and ruin the morals. They saw they couldn't touch me with that. So they try everything. They even lied on me. They said I was a sissy. Yes. They said in Philadelphia I was a homosexual. Yes. Spread that stuff around people. They said I had more than one wife. So he's talking about we should have more than one. So he got more than one wife. And they spread it around secretly that I had more than one wife. Yes. That wasn't the end of it. They're still doing it. Still telling lies. I went to one meeting, and there my men that I depended on to protect our best interests. They came out with a big fancy car, big old long rich car, and had women with them to make me to give their visible appearance. That of me being some kind of lover of wealth and women. Had the big fancy car and the women, nice looking attractive women, waiting to greet me, you know. As-salamu alaykum, brother Imam. Welcome to such and such place. But they weren't successful. They say they are with me, but I put out the book as the light shining from the east. If they were with me, they would have taken the book and passed it out in the community. Say, look, here's a new book the Imam has out. You all should have this book. But they suppressed the book. They suppressed the book. Many places, we almost had to threaten them to get them to accept the book. I have the list at home of those. Majority of them didn't want the book in their messenger. They hadn't read it. They didn't know what it was, but it was from me. They didn't want it in their masjid. So do you think I overlook things like this? You think I forget things like this? Impossible. Yes. Impossible. Now they're working hard. Everything I say, they want it. Let me get the tape. Brother, don't you take nothing, brother. No, you can't take nothing, brother. And they take the tape. What are they doing with the tape that they take? Are they giving the tape that they take to the people? Are they hoarding them in hopes of selling them later They take the tapes and hoard the tapes in hopes of selling the tapes to somebody for a big buck, or holding them until their value will go up, maybe when I'm dead. Say, well, I got something that the imam, nobody have heard. I got a tape that the imam made that nobody heard but Oakland. Are they busy working to put what they say is great? They say, oh, imam, that was great. A great message today. Are they busy trying to put that great message in the paper, into transcription, so other people can get it? If I'm the man, then the history should bear it out. If people are happy to see what I'm doing go all over the world, if I don't have no underminers and no hypocrites, I'm not the man. But if I got people doing the same thing to me that they did to the righteous servants of God of the past, then that's an indication that I might be the man. Why am I saying this when I know majority of you are hypocrites? Because a minority of you are good people. And for the sake of the good, I'm saying this. Yes. I have to do it. They claim they're with me. Brother Imam, what can I do for you? What can I do for you, Brother Imam? Anything. What are you doing with what you got? Nothing. But trying to keep it out of circulation. Trying to prevent it from going into free circulation. Hoarding. Doing what the books say. They sell the word of God for a shameful price. Shame. Disgraceful. Not that my word is the word of God. No, my net word is not the word of God. I'm just a man. Just a minister. Just an imam. Just a preacher. But I preach the truth. And the effect of it is as the word of God. Because when I quote the word of God, I also give my own support to it. And understanding comes with it. So it is as the word of God. So they see value in it. They see value in it. They say, oh boy, this is something. We spoke to the reverends the other day, and Reverend Thrower, who was representing the Reverend Preachers Union, the Ministers Union, and the man was asking me some questions. He said, I see you are a man that have knowledge. He said, you have knowledge and wisdom. Now that's a preacher, that's a minister of the gospel, recognizing me as a man with knowledge and wisdom in his own book. He was talking about on his book. He doesn't know the Quran. He can't say I have knowledge and wisdom of the Quran. He only know his own book. And he was saying, I recognize you as a man with knowledge and wisdom. In fact, he put emphasis on the great knowledge, great wisdom, a wise man, he said. And the other reverend was there, and he didn't say anything different. So it tells that all of them recognize me as a man with wisdom. But there are those that come behind me, they want you to think that I'm ignorant. Can't even teach Arabic class without some nut doubting what I'm teaching. Think I'm faking it. You think I'm faking it? Go get somebody that knows. Let them come to class. I welcome anybody in the class. Go get an Arab that never spoke nothing but Arabic and graduated from college. Bring him to my class and let him tell you whether I'm faking it or not. If you think I'm faking it, I don't claim to be fluent in Arabic. But I claim to be able to do anything that I'm doing. If I wasn't able to do it, I wouldn't dare try. Because I want the people to get the best. And if I knew I wasn't able to teach Arabic, I wouldn't try to teach it. And the proof is in the results. My students are already more advanced in just a few weeks than they would be if they went a year to some other class. I'm not bragging on myself. I want no praise for myself. But I want you who are being worked against and fooled by these hypocrites to know that the hypocrite is after your mind, after your heart, and they're after turning you away from me. And you have to be prepared for their tricks, for their schemes. Be prepared for them. If Allah wants me to have power, I will have power. And all your scheming ain't going to change that. And if Allah gives me power, He knows it will be for the people. I don't want any power for myself. What I want power for? If I get power, it's going to be our power. Yes. If Allah wants me to be wealthy materially, nothing you can do to stop it. You can't stop that. You and all your agents, you can't stop that. If Allah wanted it for me, I would have it. And nothing can stop it. They want you to think that I shouldn't have money. Every believer in here, if you really follow my leadership, you should be happy when I have money. You should want me to be the richest man on earth. You should. Now, I know you ain't saying the loudest voices are the hypocrites' voices. You should want me to be the richest man on earth. Why should you want, if I'm better than another man, why should you want the worst man to have more money than me? Huh? Why should you want Hilton to have more money than your imam? Does that make sense? You say your imam is the man. He means something to you. He's what's meaningful in your life. But you want Hilton to get the money and not the imam. What sense does that make? That doesn't make any sense. So you have to wake up. Wake up. And stop defeating your own work. I'm your work. I'm doing the work for you. Stop defeating your own work. Playing into the hands of those hypocritical, no good lying devils out there on the outside that you fear. You think you have employment with them forever. See, what the imam is doing may be temporary. I don't know how long he'll have me. I'll have you as long as you're sincere. When you stop being sincere, I don't want you anymore. Or as long as I see that you want to be sincere, as long as there's an effort in you to get better, I'll have you. But when I see there's no more effort to get better, you're just going back to worse, I don't want you anymore. This is a terrible world. Conditions are so bad. If I did right by you all, I would just get rid of you just like that. Everyone that failed, just get rid of you just like that. Because the times justify that. That's right. I wouldn't tolerate anybody that I know wasn't for real. Just get rid of them just like that. Do you know there's a foolishness going on, been going on ever since I've been the imam among the leaders of this community? They tell each other that we are running this. You ain't running nothing. The only thing you run is somebody that doesn't know what's happening and they give themselves to you because they're weak and foolish. You ain't running nothing. You never were running anything. You never were running anything. And I've been telling them this all the time. And they know where I stand. But their hope is that they can keep you fooled. That's what their hope is. Their hope is that you will never become free like me. You see? So as long as they can keep you fooled, they feel comfortable. Don't let them fool you. Allah is my witness. Let somebody come here and tell me before you that I'm doing something different than what I'm doing before you. Let them come and tell. They want you to think that I'm this way outwardly, but secretly I'm working with their thing. Tell them to come here and say that before us. And I'll show you. I don't care if he's got a sheriff badge from the county or if he got a card from President Reagan. I will order him out of here, and if he doesn't go and you don't put him out, Allah knows I will die. If I don't put him out, I will die trying. I will usher him right out of here. That's right. I don't care where he's from. Nobody has the right to interfere with what we are doing. Right. What we doing is legal on the books, on the law books of this land. Right. Nobody has the right to interfere with it. Now, if they have infiltrators, if they have police stooges and different people in here who are mucking with what we are doing, they are illegal. We are legal. Right. And if I thought that wasn't the situation, Allah is my Lord and knoweth my heart. If I thought that wasn't the situation, I would tell it to you and then ask you, what should we do about it? Should we live in a country like this, or should we ask to leave it? I would be fed up. That would be the end of the road for me. Yes. So the country plays the hypocrite. I don't play the hypocrite. This country plays the hypocrite. They claim that one thing is right and another thing is wrong. But when it comes down to it, the only thing is right. It's what serves their immediate ends. That's the only thing that's right for them. And they put the monkeys in here, send little monkeys in here, our own folks in here, to sabotage, to undermine, to put strain and stress, to burden the back of the imam, to keep him worried with petty things, to keep trouble going, to put on a pretense of support. They know what they're doing. You think Allah show me what's in the Bible and what's in the Quran and can't show me what's in your small mind? You're silly. Well, you keep playing your monkey game. And we are going to keep doing what we are doing. And you'll see we're going to be successful as we have been. And you're going to be left behind. Dear beloved Muslims, we should understand that we fall in that category of people who are of the common masses, the uneducated, the people, the historian, great historian Arnold Toynbee, calls the proletariat. It means the masses of people that are not included in the run of society. They are not a part of the moving history of the society. They're just caught up in the wind. They don't make things happen. Things happen upon them. We won't tolerate that. Not that our eyes are open. We're going to chart our own course. They don't like it, too bad. The Irish chart their course. The Italians chart their own course. The Chinese come here. They won't accept that a bunch of monkeys from the intelligence agencies come in their society and run their lives. They insist upon having their Chinese life, their Chinese culture, and charting their own course. Now, you think we're going to be different? Heck no. We ain't going to be different. We want as much as any other American want. And perhaps more. Because we want to be right. And right all the way. We ain't asking to change America. We ain't asking to make America like we are. That's up to America. America has their own free choice. Americans can accept what we want or they can reject it. I told the preacher, we're not here to change your church or to make you stop believing in Jesus Christ. That's your religion. That's your business. We'll never force you to stop that. We want to live side by side with you in peace. And I tell the Jews the same thing. We're not here to stop you from being Jews. You want to be Jews? That's your business. Our holy book says, La ikran fit deen. There's no compulsion in religion. Says the way is plain. Whosoever wants to follow the way, let him follow it. Whosoever doesn't want to follow it, let him reject it. This is what our Quran says to us. We're not here to impose our way on nobody, but we want America to live up to its claim that this is a free country and everybody has the right to express himself and everybody have a right to make his own choice. Now, if people want to choose this way, that's their American freedom. And we have the right to express our own concerns. That's all we're asking for. Now, are they afraid of the principle that they have established? That's their principle. They have established the principle of freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, right to congregate. These are principles that they have established. Them and my ancestors, right?
That's right.
I'm sure some of my ancestors also supported those things.
That's right.
We were here.
That's right.
So that's what they have established. Now, are they afraid of it? Are they afraid of it? The-